Welcome to Ask Wynn, everyone. A quick programming announcement, and I'm going to give a lot of programming announcements this week. And the first one is, if you hear me coughing, ignore my coughing, because we've been dealing with a wildfire out here 20 minutes away from me, in Basalt Carlisle and the surrounding areas called Lake Christine. They call it the Lake Christine Fire, and two kids started it, and those two kids have since gone to jail, but because of the haze and the low air quality, my lungs have not been too happy. So I'm going to try and mute my mic when I feel a coughing attack coming on, but you guys may hear me coughing even without the mic muted. So I apologize for that bad podcast host cough in the middle of an interview, but there's a good reason. And so enough of my programming announcement. I have a fascinating guest today, Mr. Dreg. And Mr. Dreg wrote a book, and he's promoting his book. He lost his company, went to jail, thank you very much, and he wrote this book and now is promoting the book to pay his victims back. Jeez, I have never heard that in my life. When he told me that, I got so fascinated. I just was so fascinated. So I'm going to let Mr. Dreg take it away.
Thank you, Wynn. So I wrote a book. It's called The Truth About Lies, How Admitting Nothing Can Cost You Everything. And it's basically kind of breaks down my life of how I figured out patterns that led to my behavior that eventually caused me to commit my crimes by not being honest and ethical with people. And it's kind of a story of different things that happened in my life, different things that happened to me as I progressed in going from owning a business for 14 years that made tens of millions of dollars to losing everything, including my freedom, my family breaking up, and eventually ending up in prison. So what I'm trying to do is I still owe restitution to my victims, and I'm trying to generate as much money as possible to get them paid back. It's a pretty big struggle, but I figure one step at a time to do everything I can. So every penny of profit from this book that I've written, I give back to my victims every single month. That's what I do.
And so what made you decide to do this? What made you, because a lot of people write a book and they say, I want to keep the money for myself. But what made you decide to do the opposite and pay your victims back, which I think is amazing. Thank you very much. And so what made you decide to do that? Did you have an epiphany in jail or something?
Yeah, I had an epiphany. That's a good way to put it. I think I had an epiphany pretty much the minute I hit jail, the minute I hit my first prison cell, when I started getting moved around from Boulder County into the Department of Corrections. You know, I quickly realized that you have to understand a little bit of my background. I came from a very normal family. I had a very successful business, a beautiful wife at the time with three daughters, and I had a great life, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting here in a prison cell, and I'm like, how did this ever happen? How did I end up in this position? And most importantly, how did I let all these other people get affected by my actions? Meaning, you know, I knew my business was struggling and in trouble. I could have filed bankruptcy, which would have pretty much had the same result, I guess, because people still wouldn't have gotten paid. But I tried my best to try to save it, but at the same time, I had my own personal issues with not letting go of what I had going on in my life. So it snowballed and it caused all these problems. And I really reflected quickly. As soon as you get into the prison, you realize, first of all, you have a lot of time to reflect, a lot of time to think. And I began to write. I began to write this book there while I was, in my facility. And the words just kind of came together, and I thought to myself, okay, what are you going to do with the book? You're obviously not going to sell the book and make money and keep the money, because that's really not right, especially when you owe a lot of people money still and you've damaged their lives so tremendously with your actions. So it really was not a difficult thing to think about. It was, I still pay money out of the money I earn now monthly to my victims as well, but this is just a way to try to get them paid as soon as possible, because to me that's the beginning of healing really for myself. I don't know if I'll ever get forgiveness from them, and that's okay, but I just want to do everything I possibly can to at least get their money back to them so that, they can use it for whatever they need to do.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. And the reason why I say that is I have never heard of such a generous thing in my life. When you're down in the dumps and sitting in an 8x10 jail cell with an orange jumpsuit on, I would never think that anyone would do that in the right mind, but nope, you did that, and the book started in that 8x10 cell and with that orange jumpsuit on, and then you thought, okay, I'm going to pay my victims back. So where can we find this book, and is it available on audio, or is it available on ebooks, or is it available on paperback?
It's available on Amazon, and it's available on ebook, like the Kindle version. It is not available on audiobook yet because I have not recorded it. I wanted to record it in my own voice. But, it's available on Amazon, The Truth About Lies, How Admitting Nothing Can Cost You Everything. You can, pretty obvious, there's a man standing on the front of the book with his hand up, with his fingers crossed behind his back. Kind of obvious to see, and that would be great. Any support would be wonderful to try to literally help these people. And it's right on the book exactly what I just stated, on the back of the book, that all profits from this book go towards the victims of my crimes.
So, okay, so it is on Amazon. So, you people, as you listen to this podcast, I want you to, if you have the Amazon app on your phone, as you listen to this podcast, go to Amazon, type in Greg's book, and then buy it. Buy it, buy it, buy it as you listen to this podcast, because Greg is on a mission to pay his victims back. And Greg, if you don't mind me asking or being the nosy journalist that I am, how much do you owe and how much have you raised?
I've paid about $50,000 in the time that I've been released. I still owe there's interest and penalties, so right now it's still close to $500,000. It's quite a bit of money.
Okay. So you paid $50,000, you owe $5,000. So everyone...
$500,000.
$500,000. For that school on my end. But so all my fan base knows if you buy a copy of Greg's book, this will help his victims, and this will help his victims live a better life. So we're changing people's lives with a book and a simple act of kindness. And now, if you don't mind me asking, how many people did you have in the company, and how many people do you have to pay back?
Oh, that's a little complicated. Half the victims are insurance companies. Half of them are actual people. If we're going to talk actual people, it's probably around 20 people. So, it's in that ballpark. I don't know the exact number. If you put everybody together, it's probably close to 35 different individual companies or people. Yep.
So we are impacting 35 companies and 20 individuals, people. So just so my fan base has a perspective of what we're doing here. And as I said, Greg, that is the greatest gift that you can give to these people because they were helping you. You got in a bad spot. So now you're helping them by paying them back and basically thanking them for basically helping your company grow until it got in a bad spot. So now, if you had to be educated by anyone inside or outside your field, who would it be and why?
I'm sorry, if I had to be educated by?
By anyone inside or outside your field, who would it be and why?
Inside or outside of my field? Educated by. I do a lot of reading. So that's a bit of a tough question for me because I've done a lot of, the first thing I started to do is try to gather as much information as possible. So I've been influenced by a lot of different authors, a lot of different philosophies. And so I've kind of self-educated myself as much as possible. I'm trying to find some kind of a mentor, which I'm actively seeking right now to generate my cause of doing some other greater things later in life is what I'm working on. So I really don't have a specific person, if that's what you're asking.
Isn't that interesting? You are trying to gain a mentor to help you out in life, help you out in your next chapter in life. And if anyone wants to be a mentor to Greg, please reach out to me or reach out to him because, as you know, he's trying to now literally turn his life around and give it back to the world. And not only through his story, but give back to the world with paying back his victims and making amends with his victims. And now, what is your greatest life lesson, Greg?
My greatest life lesson is the sense of community and how our actions affect everybody. You know, my life was pretty obsessed with material things and, you know, making gains for myself and, you know, a little bit for my family. But after everything went away, I quickly realized I didn't have a lot of human connections. I didn't have a lot of close friends. And I really wanted to focus on trying to build a better community for myself, first of all, so I'd have a better group of friends to hold me accountable so I would have never made this mistake in the first place. And what I'm trying to do now is focus on gathering community around social justice reform, you know, mainly criminal justice reform, I mean, because of what I went through while I appreciate the system and I understand why it happened and why I was punished for what I did. I still think that there are a lot better ways that people can be doing things to help people progress. So what I'm really trying to do is figure out what my message is. I've been speaking about, you know, my mistakes, trying to help other people for years now. And I'm trying to figure out a way that I can give back to society in the second half of my life and create something that's more lasting and more fulfilling that doesn't have any necessary monetary value to it.
So you're trying to figure out your own life and how to make it better. And what are you doing and how, as we as a community of Aspen here, can help the criminal justice system? What are you doing to help them, and what are you doing, what do you suggest as we as a community of Aspen help you helping them?
Well, for me, it's really about acceptance. You know, it's really trying to understand that, you know, people obviously make mistakes. They need to be given a second chance. I think society is very reluctant to do that. I mean, even I experience that quite often where every once in a while, I will be in my old community where my crimes were committed because my children still live there. This happened last night, as a matter of fact. And I bumped into somebody that that knew me before this all happens, and obviously knew what happened to me because it was pretty heavily publicized, and they kind of look at you like you're a ghost. It's a very hard thing to explain, the look they give you, like just that, oh yeah, you're that guy. And, you know, I met a lot of really interesting people, some of which I'm still very friendly with through the system, and a lot of times it's there's a lot of factors to it as to why they may have done what they've done, or they were, you know, drug addicts or different things that have happened to them in their life. But I think everybody deserves a second chance. I certainly have been supported and given that to every person that I admit my faults to. I've received nothing but love and help and kindness, and I think that's really where we need to be, because a lot of these criminals would not go back if they had the right kind of support groups and the right kind of community support from other people.
And so a lot of these criminals would not go back into jail. And your place of living, correct me if I'm wrong, was in Boulder County.
That's right. That's right.
So if you guys know anything about Denver, as you drive into Denver, because trust me, I've spent many, many years down in Denver, and you'll see the jail that Greg sat in. It's right on the edge of Denver. As you drive in to Denver, you can see it from the roadway, and it's not very pretty. I mean, they don't make jails very pretty. And Boulder County is huge now, so even though you would think it's small, you guys, it's really not. But because Greg's story was so publicly publicized, I'm not surprised they look at you like you're the ghost, you're that guy, because when you do something like that, bad news spreads like wildfire, and the media picks it up, and Nine News picks it up like there's no tomorrow. And I'm happy that you can go back up there, but still, I believe you when you say people look at me like I'm a ghost.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a very strange feeling, but, you know, and I'm, you know, again, it's, you know, I'm surrounded by love. I'm with my children. I'm happy. I'm doing what I'm doing. But it's not as bad as other people, you know, who have maybe multiple tattoos, you know, on their neck or their face, and you know, they've got missing teeth because they were addicted to meth. You know, I met some really interesting people, but at the end of the day, when you're in there, everybody's the same, right? Because you're all stripped down, because at the end of the day, you're all criminals sitting inside of jail.
Yeah.
So you really can't judge people. But when you step back out into the real world, you know, I can blend right back in, because I'm just a white male with three kids, you know. But these other guys that are, they still have those marks and scars of harder times, they have a harder time being accepted. So that's something I really try to focus on teaching my children, that, you know, just because he looks that way doesn't mean he's a bad person.
And so as we tie up this interview, I want you to ask me a couple questions, Greg, about anything. This has been a fascinating interview, by the way. And you guys, I will have Greg's information in the show notes. But as I said at the top of this interview, for those of you that have the Kindle app or on the Amazon app on your phone, please, please, please open that up as you're listening and buy Greg's book, Kindle or paperback. And Greg, you have to keep me updated when the audio version comes out, because I'll be a buyer of that one. I like my audiobooks. So just stating that fact here, that you'll have one sale from me of audiobook, and everyone else can buy the book at their own choosing, whether it being Kindle with it being paperback. But as we tie this interview up, I want you to ask me a couple questions.
Sure. So I did a lot of meditation when I was in my facility, and you know, a lot of different soul searching. But when I got out, I quickly realized that I enjoy being kind of at peace in nature. So what do you do to try to reset yourself and try to get yourself focused on what you're trying to do? For instance,
okay.
I like to go hiking.
Reset myself? Well, once
yep.
I get my e-bike, I'll be resetting myself on that e-bike in on the nature of Colorado. I mean, you know, as well as I do, we live in a beautiful state, and there are some beautiful hiking spots where you live and used to live, too. And so I'll be resetting myself on that bicycle. I'm not kidding. Once it arrives in my house, I'm not kidding when I say that I'll be resetting myself on that e-bike. And, yes, it's going to be an e-bike. And, yes, I'm going to take a picture of it. But other than that, I'm going to be resetting myself because when you reset yourself, you think you literally have a better time thinking.
Yes, my best ideas come to me strangely when I'm walking literally through the woods in nature, and all of a sudden just random thoughts pop into my head and I quickly have to write them down. So I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, no. No, and e-bikes are newer, and so I'm super excited to get this e-bike rocking and rolling, and so that's going to be my Zen time.
That's
going to be my
Zen
time on this e-bike. And so we're going to see how I do on this e-bike. And it's going to be a pretty cool thing. As you guys don't know this, but this e-bike had to get approved by the city of Aspen. And I'm not kidding. They just approved it yesterday because typically you're not allowed to use e-bikes on open trails, but because I'm using it as an assistive device, I am allowed to use it because it's like my wheelchair, and so that's why it had to get approved, because you're not allow, it is street legal, but you're allowed to use it on some aspects, but not all. So that's why it had to get approved. And so when you guys go looking at e-bikes, because I know a lot of people have them, just make sure that, and I know Boulder County is completely different, than up here, but just make sure they're approved on these trails, because granted, they have a moat on them and they go up to 20 miles an hour. Granted, I won't be setting my e-bike to go that fast at the beginning, but just make sure you follow all the rules. I said, oh, getting an e-bike, that's going to be great. I didn't realize there's a couple of loopholes that you guys have to go through, and I have to go through too, but I'm using it as a assistive device. So they, I played the CP, I have CP card, cerebral palsy card, so that's how I got mine approved. But just make sure, when you guys go look at e-bikes, that your open space approved. And basically, if you type in open space Boulder County, for example, the head of open spaces email should pop up. At least mine did when I typed open space Pickens County. And so just make sure these e-mics are approved so we can make these counties happier places. although hiking is a good aspect. Hiking is zen time, but I know you guys like biking, and I know the cars and the bicycles in Boulder County, that all the time. So just make sure that you, I know this because I see it on my news. And so, so just make sure that you guys have, respectful boundaries with the e-bikes. That's what I learned this week, and that's my tidbit about e-bikes.
That's pretty fascinating. I didn't realize they go 20 miles an hour. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, they do. They do. This is good. The one I'm looking at goes 20 miles an hour. They can get to a good trip. And so that's why I say just make sure that it isn't a normal bike, as you guys all know. And so just make sure open spaces happy with you getting your e-bike. And they're very cool machines, but they are machines and they are legal. But just, you may have to do some investigational work like we did for my e-bike.
Pretty interesting.
Well, and you guys will be learning about e-bikes with me. So I appreciate Greg coming on and sharing his story. And as I said, please go open up Amazon. Please buy Greg's book, number one, and please buy my book, number two, I Come All Win, or all my books, quite frankly, but all my books could be found in Kindle and audio format, so you guys can listen to it in audio format. And so put those two books in your cart and give us the title of yours again, Greg.
The Truth About Lies, How Admitting Nothing Can Cost You Everything.
The Truth About Lies, How Admitting Nothing Can Cost You Everything. And granted, this book did not start out on a computer. It started out in paper and pencil format in a jail cell. So Greg did not have the luxuries of a computer in a jail, so just think about that, people. And I really appreciate Greg's time, and I hope that you guys enjoy another fabulous interview here on Ask Win with Greg. And please, 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 please go buy his book, and please leave a review. It doesn't have to be a 5-star review. It just has to be a review of honest feelings, and that helps Amazon find the book and helps other people buy it and helps Greg pay his victims back. And I hope Greg will come back on as soon as the audiobook is out and tell us his experience about recording an audiobook. And trust me, I'm about to record mine, but mine will be a little while. But I want to know that I'm a huge fan of Greg's, and as soon as the audiobook comes out of his book, I'll be buying it. And I hope you guys enjoyed another fabulous episode, and we'll have Greg's information in the show notes. And where can people get in contact with you, Greg, if they want to?
The easiest way to get in contact with me is just my email address, which is Greg, G-R-E-G, at veracitygp.com. That's veracitygp.com.
Well, thank you very much. And I hope you guys enjoyed another fabulous episode and sharing Greg's story, and please go buy Greg's book so we can start making an impact and mending people's lives and literally opening up a new chapter of Greg's life. Thank you guys. Bye.
Thank you so much.